appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of the Bliss is Ignorant podcast, man. This is Jay Bliss, and thank y'all for tuning in. And today, man, I have the pleasure of having one of my compadres, someone that I actually met, ironically, through social media. He goes by the name of Mike Source. You know him on TikTok as Source and Company. And pleasure to have him here on the podcast today. Mike, what's good with you, man?
What up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm good. So I'll tell you how I came across your content. And that's just scrolling through TikTok. TikTok was not something I had planned on joining. It wasn't something I planned on being on. It was like one of the things my kids introduced me to. And, you know, I started scrolling through. And then all of a sudden, I saw this guy talking about hip-hop. And was talking about what his favorite thing was about hip-hop. And started talking about, like, and everything. It wasn't I followed you immediately. It was like, every now and again, I see it come up cross again. And I was like, wait a minute, let me get this dude a follow. So then it was, what's your top five this? And what's your top five that? And I'm like, man, this dude got the same stuff. This dude like the same stuff I like. You know what I mean? It was like the same things coming across. And I think one of the things you had put down was you had mentioned Tribe, and then you had mentioned Black Thought. And I was like, okay, he know exactly what hip hop is. Like, you know, cause it's like, you hear people have conversations, but it's hard for people not to know what hip hop is when in their right age range.
Right.
And surprisingly enough, when I watch your content, what's surprising to me is there are people in our age range that only stick to popular music and popular opinions, which is shocking to me because we had so much underground material to listen to that the radio wasn't playing, but some people are still stuck in that mode. What's surprising to you about the TikTok experience? And first of all, I want to ask you is, how did it even come about for you?
Long story short,
yeah.
I've been doing, you know, content, blogging, writing, just talking about stuff between hip hop, sports,
mm-hmm.
politics, family, just random stuff for years. Like, mm-hmm. had a page on Facebook, had a website, different things. Started doing videos on Instagram, and plus I have the sports group, the SBP. On mm-hmm. Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did a couple of interviews of people. One of my homies, Solomon, he was like, man, you should get on TikTok. You should do more videos. Another homie of mine, Jeremy, said, hey, you need to talk more. You need to, like, I don't know. You need to talk more. And then a young lady that I used to work with that I ended up interviewing said, well, she had like, I don't know, 15,000 followers on TikTok. And she was like, you need to get on TikTok because it's creative stuff and you'd like it. You probably do well with it. So I was like, eh. So I made a page.
Right.
I think it was, I don't even know if it was called TikTok. Was it Musically?
It was Musically at first.
It might have been then. I can't even remember. But I made a page and then I left it alone. I was like, how is anybody going to follow me? How is anybody going to even know I'm here? What right. do I have to, I'm not out here. I can't be advertising TikTok. Musically TikTok. One, I don't even know why I'm here for real. And I feel like it's going to be a waste of time. I don't right. need another app to waste my time. I got enough apps to waste my time.
Right.
Anyway, the pandemic hit. I started doing interviews during the pandemic because I was like, well, I got free time, I'm gonna get on this, start doing some interviews, just posted those to YouTube. And then 2021, like March, April, May 2021, I finally decided to try to do a couple things on TikTok, and eventually somebody cared.
Yeah, right, people start following, right? And it's like, it takes like one thing to kind of blow up. And then all of a sudden everybody starts finding you, and, you know, you have your, you know, opinionated people, but then you got your just strong followers. That's, you know, it's funny. You'll find that. And I find this in different elements. Like, I don't really find it too much for myself, but it's happened. if you have a strong enough following, you don't have to argue with anybody in the comments anymore. Like, you don't never have to argue. Like, you're like, it's almost like sick them, like go get them, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, your followers defend you to the end. Like, you don't ever have to even really say much. You can say like one line to make your point, and that's it. The masses will take care of the rest, which is a great thing. The thing about TikTok, and I think that what's better for TikTok than versus the Instagrams and the Facebooks and everything like that is, I think it reaches a different variety of people that otherwise wouldn't know who you are.
Right.
The algorithm is weird. Like, I could put a video up and it can only get 25 views, right? And then a week later, it's still people liking it. And I'm like, oh, y'all, it's still on the For You page. Like, you think it's flopped, but then again, like, it just put it out there because you can have something that you did 6 months ago that'll automatically go viral because somebody commented on it and somebody shared it. And that's why you just keep putting content up, because so you might do a video that somebody liked, and all of a sudden they're scrolling through your page.
You know what's funny? One of my earlier videos, like basically what caught on, like not the first thing, but what really caught on was me asking questions about hip hop. What's your favorite? Whatever. And people started stitching the videos. One of the early videos that had caught on but then died off made a comeback because somebody really, really popular stitched it. And then from them doing it, a whole bunch of other popular people did the same thing. And I was like, I ain't never seen these people before. And why they got so many followers? And why are they stitching this video? It's because this one person did it. So they're all following his lead. And then it kind of took off again from there.
Man, it's weird how that thing works. Like, my most viral video, one is a comedy clip, but the other one has nothing to do with comedy. It's an opinion. And it was the one you saw where the guy was running up the steps in the arena, and the lady was in the way, and I was like, that's main character energy. And I was like, and then everybody had an opinion on it. And the reason why I went crazy was because most of the people, and I will say majority, I'll say most, I know for a fact, if you just look at the comments, most of the people agree with me and say, I know somebody exactly like that. And then there's other people that are like, that's me. Like, I do that all the time. My husband always got to get me out the way. And I was like telling people, like, listen, this is not, it's a trait. It's not a flaw, it's a trait. But you need somebody in your life to be able to point it out to you. Otherwise, you're oblivious to everything that goes on around you because you're the main character in the story. And women was taking offense to it. Like, why wouldn't you say a man? I didn't say man didn't do it. I said, in most cases, it's a woman that's in the way. And so that's when they got triggered. But it was the facts, because think about how we grow up. Women are protected. Women have people that are always looking out for their best interest. When little girls are younger, their dad or their parent is the one that's pulling them out of the way. Hey, you in the way, get out the way, blah, blah, blah. Right? And they live their life in a manner of no danger. I don't have to look to my left and my right. Somebody's always out looking for me, right? So in life, you go through the grocery store, you got the woman who puts the cart in the middle of the aisle while people are trying to get by
Looking up.
because they looking at the mustard, right? And you're like, you in the way. And it's so funny because people got so triggered, and I was like, you triggered because this might be you, but you're not human enough to realize your faults. If somebody has that trait, it's a fault. Man, this thing went on for about 4 months. I mean, 4 months, people was arguing with me. You hate women. I said, I don't hate women. I really don't. I have daughters. I got a mother. I got sisters. I don't hate women. I just know what I've seen my whole life, and it was so deep. One of the favorite things that I like to see you do is when you bring in other content creators and y'all vibe and y'all talk. And chop it up.
Right.
Mr. White was another one that I caught on to around the same time I caught on to you. And y'all takes are y'all got so many different takes and y'all never really overlap each other unless y'all stitch each other's joint. And I'm like, that's so wild, like how hip hop is so diverse that you can have that much content. You know, it's amazing to me. Like, think about this. When did you, I guess, first get into hip hop?
The wild part is, so people always be like, did you start liking hip hop in the early 80s and blah, blah, blah? I was like, dog, I ain't even know. Let me, quick story. Middle school basketball team, right? Me and one of my teammates go to another one of my teammates, not one of our teammates' house, where, you know, in his room, he's playing music and he puts on some rap. And I know I was looking like, because I'm like, I know I've heard this before, but I don't know what this is. And he said, he looking at me, he said, you don't know what this is, do you? And I'm like, I heard this before. It's I could not name it. It was Run DMC. Yeah, but I did not know. Why? Because we had straight gospel music in our house. Straight gospel. No secular, nothing. So hip hop became, I would say hip hop became an integral part in my life in maybe 87. Maybe 87,
87.
which was a great time.
That's a great time, dude. Like to come in at 87 is a great time. For me, it was really early on. Like it was 80, 82, 83. I had older cousins, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm in the same boat you in. My mother was a minister, so you know, me listening to music was, you know, me getting a tape and putting it in and like turning it low or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and vibing with it. But you know, the older cousins, and I remember listening to you know, stuff like, you know, Jam It On It on the radio and Planet Rock and all of those things that would come on. So, you know, and then you know, the Beach Streets and stuff like that. But I think the thing that got me was, I think I remember my cousins listening to 30 Days at my grandma's house one time. From Run DMC. I remember listening to that. I remember buying my first Run DMC tape, the Run DMC album, with It's Like That and Sucker MCs and everything like that. I remember the Verka cover and everything. It was by, standing behind that, I'm standing in front of that brick wall. And I bought Curtis Blow's 8 Million Stories tape. Those were the first two music tapes I bought. First album I bought was the Fat Boys. So it was like, you know, it was like I was in it. I remember hearing UTFO for the first time. I remember hearing Roxanne for the first time at my cousin's house. And I was asking who they were. And he was telling me that they was a group. They two of them used to dance for Houdini. And it was just been a path through that. But when you think about where you started listening to hip hop until, I'm not even go to a present. I'll go to 2000, right? You could have a radio station dedicated only to that. That's how much music that came out in that time. So when you have people that only have opinions of popular music and haven't delved into the underground of what hip hop truly is, there's people that bring up artists to me right now. So I had time. I didn't have time to listen to them. I you know, and be okay with it. Like, yeah, I've never really got into them. You know what I mean? Like, some people ask me all the time, like, who is somebody you just never really got into? And I go, Too Short. And Too Short was out in 82 now. Like, he was out back then, you know what I'm saying? But
That's fair.
I never was interested. Even when I finally heard Too Short, I was like, I'm past that. No, it don't sound good enough. It don't sound good enough to me. You know, I feel like I'm taking a step back. Like, don't get me wrong. He got his own lane. He got anybody he listens to. He got a section of his society that will ride or die for Too Short. For me, by the time I heard him, I would have felt like I'm going back to Nice and Smooth by then.
That's fair because of the style and his rhyming. I get that. And just to be clear, I heard rap. I remember hearing rap in different, like, you hear everything. Wiki, 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 wiki. Like you hear everything in the street, but I had no connection to it. It's just songs I just heard in passing because I could never listen to them like consistently to even, and we didn't have cable until around that time. So add that to the mix. And yeah, I was just reaching. I was just out here reaching
So
until.
you think about 88. I think I shared this with you before. Like all the albums that came out in 1980, you said 87. So all the albums that came out 1888, I was thick into hip hop by then. Like, 87, 88, MC Lyte and NWO 2's coming out. Dude, I think I had every single tape that came out in that year. And I remember my Walkman. I remember having my book bag and having all my tapes in my book bag and just popping different ones in, like listening, like just listening, listening, listening. I remember when Steady B came out. I'm like, oh man, we gotta go get the Steady B album. You know what I'm saying? And them having Jive on the album. That was the first time I seen like a Jive rap album. And I'm like, what is Jive? I'm looking because we always look to see the Def Jam or we see something else. You know what I'm saying? So it was all different for us. Like everything was new for us. You know what I mean? But it was just like, I think 88 was the one, that's the thing that molded me. Like that's the year that basically put everything into perspective for me. The most impactful album in my lifetime was LL Cool J's Bigger and Deafer, the Bad album. That's the one that was like, that was the most hip hop for me at the time. And I think impact wise, I'm like, that's the album I go to. I was like, that's the one. That's the one where I was just like, yeah, that's this is gonna be the music I listen to for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
88 was that year. I mean, it was like 30 plus different albums. And if you think back from the beginning, like what, 81, you probably had three albums. 82, you might have had 12 albums. 80, up till what, 85, 86, you got a few more. But 87, the 87, and then especially 88, because 88, there were 30 plus albums that you can say, somebody's gonna say this is a classic. Somebody's gonna bring this up. And it was an influx. 88 was that year where everything really turned up for me. 87, when you want to talk about Rakim and as far as lyricism and all that, but
88.
as far as like albums and actual work, 88, 88 was
And the
crazy.
introduction of Big Daddy Kane alone was monumental in 1988. And I mean, I don't like arguing with people about, because different things mean different things to different people in different times of their life. But I'm just gonna tell you when you have an argument of classic era hip hop, you might not agree with 88, but I ain't wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might not agree, but ain't nobody gonna tell me I'm wrong because there's too many people that will tell me that I'm right. You know what I mean? And I know that you were drawn more towards, based off what I've heard from you were drawn more towards the native tongues. And the tribes and the roots and the people of De La Soul, and that's a whole nother element. Like there's not, there's a boom bap, but then the native tongue is the nerd kids jumped on them immediately, right? And it took the street dudes to be like, oh, whoa, that me, myself, and I rock a little bit better, than you think it would. You know what I mean? Like, and it was so dope because, everybody wanted to listen to the hardcore rap and the hardcore, but you could not help yourself, when Bonita Applebum came on, or because we was at parties. You know what I mean? And parties was dancing, and with dancing, you couldn't dance like that to Mama Said Knock You Out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you just like. That's why LL had to come out with Jingling Baby, because we was like, no, you can't dance. I'm bad, bro. Like,
You can't do the Running Man to, mama
it's
said,
like,
not you. Yeah, that'd be kind of tough. But yeah,
right.
the odd cousin or a little left of center, whatever you want to say, vibe. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because it was less rigid. Maybe it's because it was less rigid that drew me to it. But I mean, KRS-One was my guy originally, like out the gate. between
Yeah,
criminal
man.
minded and by all means necessary. Like them choices, outrageous to this day. To this day.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
that was the real hook. Like what made me fall in love with hip hop was my philosophy. Like that
That
video
video
just clicked it,
ingrained in your
made a switch
brain.
come
Him
on.
standing in front of that Jeep, speaking his verse, and then realizing that the words that he was saying was so, it was prophetic, number one, but it was like the talent involved with him being able to put those words together and speak it to you. Like it's like nobody did that yet, even though anybody could have done it, but nobody had did that.
And not everybody's verses were going to come off the way that one did.
Right.
Like if Rakim did it, you could say something similar. But it's not like
Yeah.
everybody rhymed like that. Specifically,
Right.
when you talk about the change in how MCs approached songs, it was Rakim and KRS-One that kind of changed the style of MCing from what Chuck D says as rapping in front of the beat, which is what everybody did, to rapping a little bit behind the beat, which is what Rakim and KRS did. Kind of changed the, I ain't kind of changed, it changed the game
Changed
musically
everything,
completely.
yeah, truly did. And I remember when EPMD was out and P was doing the slow flow, right? So you know that was kind of offbeat. I always thought he was just offbeat, like, dude, why is he rapping off? But then I didn't realize what they were doing. Like, you know, Special Ed first came out, he was a little bit offbeat. I'm like, dude, this is a little bit off. But then I realized, oh, they coming on the second part. Like otherwise, somebody would have came on this beat and rapped it a whole nother way. And it's weird because, you know, I had cats like that in school. You know, everybody wanted to rap, everybody battle each other. Some people be on the beatbox and everybody else be like, man, start right here. I'm like, nah, the dude would start on the offbeat. You're like, dude, that don't sound weird. You know what I mean? But people's ear is different. You know, you don't, you know, you never really know. It's like what I listened to an interview one time with the Roots, and Quest was talking about drumming. And he was talking about how he would drum and how he start drumming on a different beat. And he was like, nah, you can't do it that way. And then he started doing it, and then people was like, man, it's crazy. And one of the things that I didn't recognize from them was all his drumming was done live in studio when they did their first album. And the DJs would come up to them and tell them, we can't use your record. Like, we can't use your record because it's not on beat. Like, it's not, like, his drumming was real. But they were doing the mix-ins and they couldn't mix it in because it wasn't the same every time. I was like, oh man, that's crazy when you think about that. So they like use the drum machines and stuff like that. You know what I mean? To make sure everything is uniform or whatever. But you did dip into hip hop yourself. You was in a group titled Grown Folks, correct? Yeah. And so you know, as a comedian, you know, there's a lot of things that you know. You can't ever say you didn't go through life and you didn't do the things that you wanted to do, right? That's the one thing. But in hip hop itself, like in the industry, what would you say was surprising to you once you really got into it and realized the things that needed to be done in order to be a success?
I don't even know if I realized it, but I've been told by different people, if you lived in a different area, you'd be in the same lane with these people right here. Like these people that
Yeah.
are maybe not the uber popular people, but people that are known, you would be in the same lane, in the same spots, in the same, vicinity
Yeah.
of these people.
Right.
You're like them. And I'm like, eh. But because I never really think of it, I just think of it as, well, it wasn't good enough to be recognized by the masses, so that's what it is. But maybe it wasn't that it wasn't good enough. Maybe it's just it's more to it. And maybe it's
Yeah.
more to it that I wasn't able to or willing to do in order
Yeah.
to reach that pinnacle or however high I really wanted to go with it.
It's funny that you say that, man, because you know, people say things and we really take it for granted now. So the phrase the grind is the grind, right? The grind is the grind, right? But some people grind don't gotta be as difficult as other people's grind. And sometimes it is location. Sometimes it is location. You know what I mean? Sometimes it is, And you got to be comfortable. But I would tell people like this: if you're talented enough, people will find you, right? But lo and behold, we didn't have social media like we do now, right?
True.
We had social media back when grown folks was out doing their thing. Hey, y'all could have been the next biggest thing. You know what I mean? You just don't know. But when you live with the time frame that you're in right now, like I live in North Carolina, people are like, "Why don't you move to LA? Why don't you move to New York?" Why? I'm still the same funny dude. It's like, "Oh,
Right.
it's more eyes on you." Well, yeah. Well, moving to New York and moving to LA ain't taking care of my kids. Like, I got kids to raise, and I'm not raising my kids in another state, or away from them for that long or distance of time because I can't get that time back. I'm always going to be funny. If it
Facts.
happened for me today versus happening for me 10 years from now when I'm 60, that's just what it's going to be.
That's
I'm
what it's
not
gonna be.
changing anything up. I'm not changing anything up on how I do things. But it's funny to me. Like, I would say that at least there's a digital footprint of you performing or you having your material out there. It means something. It's there. It's available for the masses. And who knows, dude? 5 years from now, y'all album can become the biggest thing between 20-year-olds for some strange reason. You never know, but it's out there. It's the same thing when I did my albums. I put my albums out there, they're out there. Who knows what's gonna happen 4 years from now when one joke go viral?
That's
And all
true.
of a sudden everybody be like, "Man, anybody ever heard of this dude?" They be like, "Yeah, man. Old dude living in North Carolina." Like, what you like? What you gonna do with it? You know what I mean? But
One of my guys said, like, he does a podcast. And I don't know that it ever, moved the needle, even for him. But he said, "I do this so there are recordings of me in the future, so my grandkids will know who I was." I was like,
absolutely.
"I'm with that. I'm with that."
Absolutely. I never even thought of that either. 'Cause like, my daughters will probably listen to some of this stuff later on in life as well. You know what I mean? And what would you say your highlight of your music career was?
Highlight? I don't even know. I don't even know because like we did shows and all that. Highlight. I don't know. I don't know. I think I wouldn't call it a highlight, but an interesting thing is I remember we had a joint, what's the name of the show? Lincoln Heights. Lincoln Heights. We had a song, on the show, on an
That's
episode of the
dope.
show. I was
That's
like,
dope.
that's all right. It's funny because I watched the video not too long ago of the scene. And I'm like, dog, like even me, I'm listening to myself and I'm not thinking that's me. I'm thinking, some music underneath the show. But that's me. That's me.
That's dope, man. Let's do, man. Let's you never like it's funny, man. Like you never really give yourself the credit that you deserve. It might be small in nature, but it's big for somebody else. You know what I mean? Like I have my friends tell me all the time, like, "Dude, I cannot believe you actually go on stage across this country and perform in front of people." When I go, I don't even look at it like that. Like I just be like, "Nah, man, it's like something that I'm able to do." Like it's not, I don't look at it as, "Oh man, I'm better than." I just like, dude, like I have a talent. I have a gift to be able to do it and not be nervous. And that's the only saving grace that that comes from it. You gotta have some thick skin. Like there's times where you bomb. Like you're gonna bomb, you know what I mean? But to have the confidence when you tell somebody that you don't care what somebody think and you mean it, that's a dangerous person. Like that's like every comedian. Like you'd be like, "Dude, I don't care what nobody think." Like when the Cat Williams thing came out, this you could tell some comedians that care what you think.
Absolutely.
It's like somebody telling lies on you. Then you're gonna come out and say it's a lie. But when you don't come out and defend yourself, and then you're giving people credence on it might be some validity in what that person said. You know what I mean? Because even if somebody told a story about me, I'm at least come out and tell my side of it.
At least, So, like, all right, it might have looked like that to him, but to me, I was looking at it like, boom. Yeah, I get that. I get
Because
that.
there's your story, there's my story, and there's the truth. But I'm
Yeah.
at least tell my story. Like, you're going to
Yeah,
embellish something. Let me get my embellishment out too.
I always like, people say, I'm not correcting any story. I'm not cleaning up any rumors about me. I'm not cleaning up any stories about me. I don't know if I subscribe to that. That I'm like, you're not?
Nah.
Like, I mean, if you don't care what people think, that's one thing. But if they're saying something crazy and it's not true, you don't feel like obligated to just be like, all right, that's not true. Or at least to people that matter. Like, you don't have to do it for everybody, but at least to people that matter. I feel like
Yeah.
naturally I'm going to be like, nah, this is what it was. Just like you just
Right.
said, this is what it was.
Right. I'm 100%. Another thing we got in common is we're both girl dads.
Yeah.
So I know, yeah. So I know that that in itself is a challenge. My twins are 16 now, so you've been through that part. I'm just gonna ask you, man. Like, does it get better? I'll ask you that part. Does it get better?
I have a hard time giving like valid not advice, but just valid commentary when it comes to parenting. I had a dude, young dude, his sister was wilding when she was like 13. He came to me, this is a while ago, 10 years ago or so. He came to me, he's like, yeah, my little sister, blah, blah, blah. What, you got any advice? What should I do? I was like, bruh, I don't know what you should do. I have no idea because I didn't have to deal with that. I didn't have to find a way to deal with that happening because my daughters didn't do that. So if I told you some advice, I'd just be making it up because I didn't go through it. So I feel like the advice I would give would be fake. Because I mean, I tell people like, some people believe it, some people don't. I'm like, my daughters never caused me any problems. Like they were not, they, either of them, I have two daughters. Neither of them really, like, there was no day that I was like, man, I hate being, man, they get, I can't believe, like, I mean, stuff happens, but nothing where it was like conscious, let me wild out and, it's whatever. I was thankfully absolved of that because it hasn't happened.
My we've had a couple little flare ups. We had to be like, you wilding right now, like, you know, like I'm about to be like, yo, I'm your dad coming to talk to you. You know what I mean? I gotta be going there, like, listen, y'all, I can't listen. You know what I mean? But the whole process of everything, they 16 now, you know, they like boys and everything. And you know, I had to meet one of these little young dudes the other day, and I'm just staring at him like, look, man, look, I'm not gonna have no big long conversation with you. You know what I mean? My whole thing is I'm all about respect. You respect my daughter. That's the bottom line. Like, you got a mom, you got a sister. You treat my daughter the same way you want somebody to treat your mom or treat your sister. If she not treating you the same way, you come talk to me. But other than that, that's the last time I'm gonna have this conversation. I said, because
Right.
the only thing I'm not gonna deal with is disrespect. Like, I met plenty of parents when I was his age, growing up, meeting young ladies' parents or whatever, and none of the parents ever had anything bad to say about me because I knew how to act. I knew how to be respectful, and I treated the young lady nice. Like, she could never say anything that I said out of line or did anything wrong. But you know, people are parented differently. You know what I
Definitely.
mean? But I think the most important thing is for young men to know is that her dad is in her life.
Right.
Everybody know, dudes treat girls with their dad out of their life different than do girls with the dad in their life. Because the girls with the dad in their life, they expect different things. They have standards, and they will tell you what they are. And they be like, I've met a girl one time. She's like, don't curse around me. I was like, what? She's like, do not curse around me. It's disrespectful. I was like, yo, see, wow. But listen, if you either gotta respect her boundaries or move on. And I'm like, yo, if she told you that she meant that. You know what I mean? And that's probably something her dad told her. So
Exactly.
that was like, that's where we was with it. But man. So I'll go back to the TikTok stuff, man. Like, so you have you get on the DJ a lot too, which is cool. Because sometimes you just, you don't want you want somebody else to do the work. You don't want to have to flip through your own. You don't have to flip through your own music to find the song that you want to hear. Sometimes you want somebody to do it for you,
Right.
whether it be you, Alexa, or anybody else. Like, yo, somebody else find a mix for me. You know what I mean? But it's the cool thing about DJing on TikTok is you can be in a vibe, you could be in a groove and be like, oh, somebody be like, oh man, it's been a minute since I heard that song. And they'll mention one and you go, wow, it's been a minute since I heard that song. And
Yeah.
that's the dope part about hip hop, because it always takes us back to a time, a memory, or something like that. I think I was on TikTok the other day and somebody said something about the song Clones from the Roots, and I forgot all about that joint. I'm like, that was my joint. Like, I used to come out on stage to that when I was doing comedy, when I first started on comedy. Like, that's how long ago that joint. I used to love that song, man. I used to love that drum. Everything was so pure about that song. You know what I mean? But it's certain things that you like, you rock out with it. Like, and it's like the different elements that you come with. Like, you'll be like, oh, we're gonna listen to the females from the 80s, and you're like, man, that's gonna be good. You know what I mean? And it's just like how you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to bring up things that people don't hear all the time. Because it may, first of all, I don't DJ. Let me say that. I'm not a DJ.
No, you playing music.
I play, yeah, I curate the vibes or something to that effect. So I'm not on the turntables, zigga-zigga, ain't none of that happening yet. Yet, future, but not yet. But yeah. I just like to, try to do different things. There's so many DJs on TikTok, so many people that play music on TikTok, so many different, you can find whatever you're looking for, you can probably find it somewhere. And I just try to do what I like and what the people would like to hear. Not, I don't necessarily like, some DJs don't DJ for the people, they DJ for themselves. I understand. I get that if you're doing something different. Like, if you're in a club, you got a DJ for the people usually. But if you're established enough to have a following and people are coming to hear what you choose to bring them, then you get to do what you want to do. I mean, you could tell the most popular jokes. You could tell all the jokes that are about whatever the popular topic is, the topic of the moment is at that time. And some people will laugh. When you tell the jokes, I'm guessing when you tell the jokes that are more about your experience or what you've dealt with or what you actually like to talk about, they probably hit people a different way. So it can be similar.
I mean, it's a good thing. Now, I'm be honest with you, man. Out of all the content creators that I follow, like, I do wish that you had the 3.5 million. Like, honestly, and I
Bruh.
think I'd be honestly, man. I mean, I want you to get there, man. And if not for anything, just for my own selfish reasons, just because I just like what you do, man. And it's like, I think it's just gonna take the right people to do, because it's consistent. It's not like it's, oh, he doing it this time or he stopped doing this. Like, dude, it's consistent. You constantly putting stuff up there, and I feel like those people are the ones that need to be rewarded, especially when they're doing something that's teaching people about certain things. You got plenty of people that got opinions, especially young people that don't have the right to have an, I'm not gonna say they don't have the right to have an
No,
opinion,
you're right. You're right. You're
but
right.
they say stuff and they have no, when, like, when somebody comes out and says, oh man, Nas is trash, are you
Yeah.
kidding me? Like, dude, like, how can you even fix your mouth to say something like that, that Nas is trash, when you didn't even know when Nas came out? And if you knew the story that this 16-year-old did when he came out and how he changed five mics in the Source magazine on a no feature album from a 16, 17-year-old. And now when I listen to music, and I hate being the old man to be like, oh, it's garbage, but I can't tell one artist from another, bro.
I get that. I get
I
that.
can't. And they'd be like, you know who this is? I'm like, Future? They're like, no. I'd be like, I'm naming five, Blueface. I'm naming like five, six different people. Lil Uzi Vert. I'm named because it sounds the same to me. And I'm like, it's maybe because I'm not trying, But it does.
You know, it's funny that you said that. It just crossed my mind. I could not name, in this moment, I'm sure I've heard multiple, but I cannot name a Young Thug song. And Young Thug is loved by everybody. I couldn't name an NBA Youngboy song, and NBA Youngboy is loved by everybody. I don't know. I don't know. And
Me
I'm
neither.
okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because I was okay with I stopped buying music around the Kanye era. I was like, I'm not buying no more music. Like, I have enough music in my catalog that I don't have to find any more new artists. I don't have to find no more new artists. I think the only artist that I might have listened to after I kind of cut it off with Kanye was like Kendrick Lamar and them.
Kendrick, yeah.
But it was just like, I listen to people now, like I see like a Coast Contra, and I see people that like the young people that still have a flow, the young boy Simba, and some other people that have like flows that remind me of the time that I came out or came up. But I'm not, you can't tell me there's songs right now that I'm like, oh man, that's a banger. Just don't do it for me. Unless you coming out and you doing a whole nother verse over the Far Side, Passing Me By album or something. You know what I mean? Like you
We
can't, like you
got to
got
have
going.
some type of
It's got
throwback
to
in
have
it.
something. It has to have some type of connection to something that I would listen to in order for me to be like, yeah, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have some of the younger people that I talk to on a regular basis say stuff like, "Well, if you expect us to know older music, then we feel like you should know music from now." Now, I listen to some stuff. We'll check out some stuff. But generally speaking, that idea does not work. Like, the stuff that you listen to now was created because of the stuff before it. Like, I'm older, so I don't need to go to the stuff that comes out now because I listen to the stuff that it was created from. And maybe at a younger age, when hip hop was younger, we might not have understood that from people that were older than us, a generation before. Might be because it was switching from, R&B soul to hip hop, but it might also be because they were older and they were talking about music of their time versus music that was newer. But yeah, I feel like it's two different things. Like, it's not the same argument from both sides.
Well, you know what I'm envious of? I'm envious that I'm not as young as they are, and to go back and discover music that I'd never heard before. Like, can you imagine, like, for me to go to one of my daughters who's 16 years old and say, hey, here's a Daz Effects album. I want you to listen to it. And have the whole mind-blowing experience of, wow, this is nice. All right. And then follow up with here's Midnight Marauders. Where's the Low End Theory? Go ahead and give this a listen. I like that. I know you do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's I don't have that. I don't have that ability to have somebody come to me and go, hey, listen to this NBA Youngboy album. I know I'm not gonna be impressed. I
Do
know I'm
you give
not
it a
gonna be
chance, though?
impressed.
Do you give it a chance?
I will tell you what, I've given I so when Nas came out with the song Spicy, and he had Ferg on
Bobby
there,
O'Thorne.
I listened to some of his stuff, but it didn't hit me like that verse hit me on that album. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, oh, try, man. Like, I thought I had one, you know what I mean? But the verse was killer. The verse was killer. I was like that. So ASAP Ferg and then the Fabio, both of them dudes' verses was good on that joint. And I was like, yeah, young boys went in on this one. You know what I mean? Because when he did, I think he started off when he said, a little bit of advice, never get the liquor without the ice. Oh, he's always get liquor with ice. And then he did the joint about I could bag any bitch with the all white nights. Like, I was like, yo, this dude is killing it. And the way he came in, I was like, who is this? I'm looking at the album joint like we used to do back in the day. We looking at the credits like, ooh. You know what I mean? But that was dope, man. Like, I really felt like both of them really represented On that album. So I will give somebody a try if I hear a couple of things from them that I'm like, yo, that dude went in. You know what I
Right.
mean? But I just nah.
Not quite.
Not quite. What do you think about what did you think about Yasin and what he had to say about Drake?
I got what he said. I get what he said. I understand what he said. I mean, I can't say Drake is not hip hop. I think that's kind of wild, just
Yeah.
because like it's two arguments. One, are you arguing that hip hop is not hip hop anymore, and it's not just beats and rhymes. It's not just, boom bap or whatever the case. If you're arguing that, then okay, you can say Drake is not hip hop. But if you're saying like people like to take hip hop and talk about how global it is and how it's the biggest culture and it runs the world. Hip hop music runs the world. Everybody needs hip hop in their music in order to make their music what it is, blah, blah, blah. You can't say all that and take credit for all that stuff and then be like, no, Drake is not hip hop. How? You
Yeah,
just
nah.
said that
Yeah,
hip
you're
hop
right.
runs the world.
You're right.
Drake, you can't have it both ways. And people will argue
Yeah.
that. People will argue that, but you can't. It's like not giving credit to someone because you don't like them. But I mean, that's what it is. Not giving
Yeah.
credit to someone because you don't like them. You might not like the way the music is going, and it might be going in a negative direction. But if it came from the same place and it's doing the same things, generally speaking, why are you saying it's not what it is? Because you don't want it to be. You want it to be something else, unless
Yeah.
it's convenient.
Right. And I feel like, Mos and Talib and all of those guys, they come from a different ilk anyway. They are more of the purist, the hip
Right.
hop purist. They are gonna come from a place of what hip hop is and not what rap is, right?
Right.
So hip hop comes from the culture of dancing, graffiti, DJing
Yeah.
and rapping. You know what I mean? So the more of the boom bap, you know what I mean? Like one of my favorite cuts from him is the joint he did for Brown Sugar, because it sounds so classic hip hop. Even the Yes Yes Y'alls and the whole album itself takes me back to a point of just Yes Yes Y'all alone on an album makes me go back to a point of that's it. Like that should be one of the questions you do on TikTok. Like when you hear the phrase yes yes y'all, tell me something that song that goes directly into this. When you did one time and said when you hear boom bap, what do you think of? And the
Yeah.
first song I came up was Audio 2. When I hear boom bap, I think of Audio 2 because it was pure hip hop. The only other song that breaks down hip hop to the point of its purest form to me is Lotti Dottie, because it's just a beatbox.
Yeah.
And you can't get no more ground level than just a person and a beatbox.
Yep, that's true.
And that, like, tell me a new artist to come out and do that.
Yeah. But shoot. Well, tell me a new artist that come out and want to do that, I guess.
But think about it. So remember Get Fresh Crew? Remember the song Get Fresh Crew with Biz and Shantae? That song was number one for like 3 4 months, and it was just her and him, and it was just him beatboxing, and it was like, I'm like, why is this
Yeah.
number one? Like,
What year was that, though?
that was 1980. Let me think. I was in 7th grade, so that would have been 86.
Yeah. So, you look at hip hop had only been on record for real for 6 years at that point.
Yeah.
So
Yep.
you're looking at the beginning. And what it is now is what it's evolved to. Whether it's evolved the whole time going forward, is one thing. But it's evolved. It may have gone off track in some people's eyes, but it's changed. Evolved as in changed, not as evolved as in gotten better necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases it has. In some cases, I think they've gone too far out of the box.
Yeah.
Like you straight too far away from the essence of what it is. And I laughed internally a couple minutes ago because I said 86, right? And I was like, I'm just thinking about how that song started. And I'm like, you would get canceled immediately because it goes, we came here tonight to get started, to go act ill or get,
And
and they say
get
the R
through.
word,
Yep,
right?
definitely.
And
Definitely.
I was like,
Oh man, the lyrics. Look, somebody, I saw a video of somebody the other day. They were like, y'all, I think it was a comedian. I think
yeah.
Marvin, I
Marvin
can't remember
Hunter.
who, Hunter.
Yeah,
He's
that's my
like,
boy.
y'all ain't gonna make me feel bad for the music that we listened to when we were kids.
In
You
my
can't make me
childhood,
feel bad about it. Like, yeah, it's a whole lot of, because ain't no
yeah.
fun if the homies can't have none.
You
It's
can't listen, man.
outrageous.
We have, dude, some of the, dude, the stuff we had, the, oh my God, my man, Nas said, he said something about the motorcycle reference and switch up styles like a faggot. I'm like, dude, you, but we think about, like, no, that was a red man that said that.
Yeah,
So
red
it's
man.
like when you think about like what we do and how we, how things were not as, I guess, you couldn't say things. We come from an era where you just had to have thick skin. Bullies was allowed. We got talked about all the time. Like it was, you just had to have your, you just had to have your stuff about you, man. It was so, it's so wild. Like kids are so fragile nowadays. And I'm pretty sure they were saying the same thing about us when we were coming up. But I just remember, man, like, man, my mom didn't have no sit downs with me. And parents learn how to sit down and talk to their kids from watching The Cosby Show. You know, we weren't having no sit down family meetings when I was growing up, man. My mom was like, I told you to do that, don't do them dishes like 2 hours ago. Now bring your ass up here and do these dishes. Like, mom, I'm having a problem at school. You have a problem with me in like 2 minutes if you don't do them dishes. That was the answer. It wasn't no, let's sit down and discuss what your issues are. What did I say, dude? That was it. That was what we came up with. You know what I mean? It was like we wanted to be, we turned into Cliff Huxtable while our parents was watching James Evans. You know what I'm saying? Like we got
I
parented
do.
like James Evans, but here we are parenting our kids like Claire and Cliff.
So we evolved as parents. So do you think it's worse though? Do you think it's worse? Because I'm looking at the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, the world. And similar to, probably not similar to, but similar to 90s basketball.
Yeah.
People will tell you 90s basketball was great. Meanwhile, some games was like 87, 85, 79, 72, hard fouls, people get knocked down on a regular basis. Now that it's less physical,
Yeah.
people say it's soft. Is it soft, or did we just have it more difficult? And now sometimes we want our children to understand how difficult we had it. Because I don't know that softer is worse. I think softer, if it's really softer, I think softer is different. But don't you
Right.
want the world to be nice? Like, don't you want the world to be a nicer place, like
I
for the
do, but
future?
I don't want my children to walk out into this world naive because I was too nice.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
so yeah, so the naivety of your children in itself, like I am the mean parent, right? Like, when I say mean, I'm not mean all the time. I give my kids warm and fuzzies all the time. But when it comes to answers and answering a question and not going for any BS, I'm the one that gives them the blunt answer despite of your feelings. I don't care if you're crying at the moment. I'm gonna tell you what you don't want to hear, but I'm gonna be real with you because that's how the world is. And it's like, I don't want my kids to be that naive. You know, I had an embarrassing parenting moment yesterday. I take my daughters to my alma mater, which is Johnson C. Smith University, and we take them to, I take them to the girls' basketball game. Both of my daughters play basketball, so I was like, "We're going to take, I'm gonna take y'all to the girls' basketball game and watch them play Fayetteville State." So we get to the game, we sit down, they join the game. Before the game start, they like everybody stand up for the national anthem. So everybody stand up and they start playing the Black National Anthem. Lift every voice and sing. Now I'm looking at my kids' faces and I'm like, I hope they know this because they're not singing it, they're just doing the melody. So everybody sit down or whatever, and I turn to one of my daughters. I go, "Do you know what song that was?" They was like, "The national anthem." I'm like, "Yeah, you know what song that was?" And they was like, she was like, "Nope." And the other one was like, "I said, you know what song that was?" She was like, "No." I was like, "Damn." And I felt bad because I'm like, because I learned that in elementary school. I learned that in elementary school because I went to an all black elementary school. My kids don't go to no all black school. They go to a majority white school. But I'm like, damn it, I'm mad as hell at myself. Like, why don't they know this? So I had to send it to them on YouTube. It's like, listen, learn this damn song. Like, this is
Please.
important for you to know this song. Like, you gotta know this song, yo. But it was so embarrassing. I was embarrassed. I'm like, dang, I went to a black school. I done brought them back to my black school.
And
Like,
they over here like, what is this?
yo, I forgot we did that at my school. Like, we never played the national, we played the Black National Anthem.
Right. Dang.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been anywhere where they just played Lift Every Voice and Sing, as opposed to, oh, Canada. No, as opposed
I
to
bet you
Star-Spangled
I bet you go to Norfolk State. I bet you they play Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Banner. Yeah. And I've been at Union games. I don't know who.
Union, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know,
I
man,
don't
but
know.
I mean, it's funny because we was in school, we used to sing that joint out loud.
Yeah.
They like, well, this is so aggressive.
Had to be that way. Sorry. Had to
I
be that way.
mean, like, dude, man, it's like you, yeah. I love the fact that I went to an HBCU, but it gave me so much pride and so much confidence in myself. Even when I went back, when I went out into corporate America, man, I just had a arrogance about myself. That the school basically put on me, like, hold your head up, you know what I mean? And then when they ask you what school you go to, man, I said that joint loud and proud. I didn't know, oh, I just went to this little school. Nah, man, I went to Johnson C. Smith University, man.
That's
Like,
right.
they go, where's that at? Oh, that's in Charlotte. You know what I mean? And they go, man, like, yeah, like 1867, baby. You know, I'm loud and proud about what it is, because you know, when people get to know who you are and have a deep conversation with you, like, the intelligence level don't mean that you're college educated just because you have an intelligent conversation. It's how you hold this conversation, how you carry yourself, and how you're able to get your point across. That's the important things of it. It can be from a mentor, it could be from your childhood, it could be from a lot of different things. But people put too much on the college you went to or college education alone, which doesn't necessarily define you as being intelligent.
Oh
You know
yeah,
what I
I
mean?
agree with that. We just had a conversation about that with my with somebody unrelated, but they were just
Yeah.
like, "Yeah, my child went to this school. Well, she wanted to go to this school. She went to this other school, but she's still a doctor at this point." So I'm like, "Can't knock the hustle. Can't knock the hustle."
Say less at that point, because listen, a doctor's a doctor's a doctor.
Yeah.
I don't care where you got it from. You know what I'm saying? Like, you went through all the what you needed to go through to get it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know, and I know we both and I'll wrap this up in a little bit
Don't do
with
it.
this.
Come on, bro. You don't
I
want to
got
do
to, man. I know we both root for the same team, man. And like, these birds that let us down so bad this year.
so
And
bad.
I think we might be on the same page, because I heard you discuss it on one of your lives. I knew on December 31st that we was going to lose in the playoffs in the first game.
Yeah.
I think I put a post on my social media and said, hey, y'all lower y'all expectations. This ain't the NBA. You just can't turn it on in the playoffs. We ain't playing good enough, and it ain't going to happen. That team gave up, and it was
Completely.
obvious. Like, the tackling alone ticked me off, bro. Like, I was like, yo, on that Seattle game, I was like, dog, it's over.
Yeah.
I said, it's a wrap.
Bro, let me take this moment to shout out James Bradberry. Some say Badberry. Man, how, see, you said Seattle. How do you go through a whole game, not even the whole game, we get to the final drive up, and you are the back, you, sorry, you're the starting corner. The number one corner is out. So now you're the number one corner on the field. they don't go at the other guy.
They go at the
They
number
go at
one.
you. Every
Yes.
completed pass on that last drive against Seattle was on Bradberry.
Yep.
Literally every pass. They
Yep.
drove down the field and threw at you. They sent their best receiver on the other side with the other guy, went with their third best receiver, but they still threw it on you.
On
Dog,
you.
that's
Yep.
got to be like a smack in
Yep.
the face.
It's
But clearly
tough,
it
man.
wasn't because he wasn't tackling 6 weeks
Nope.
later.
Nope. So he know his time is up. You know what
It
I
got to
mean?
be.
But you
Got to
know,
be.
I would say that the Matt Patricia thing was wrong. I think they need to get rid of him. Sean Desai. I hate that they're gonna keep Brian Johnson because the connection that he has with Jalen Hurts. But I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm gonna bring you back to a memory real quick. You know, Doug Peterson lost his job because he wouldn't get rid of Press Taylor. And if you look at the Jacksonville message boards, they all fussing about Press Taylor. Like, that's the reason they feel like they ain't winning. And I'm like, that loyalty is what's going to get you fired. That loyalty is going to get you fired.
The fact that Brian Johnson has multiple teams bringing him in for interviews for head coach,
That's the Rooney rule.
that's what I thought was one. All of them, they
That's
got
the
plenty
Rooney
of
rule. Well,
options.
they all have to at least interview one black head coach.
Yeah.
So they all get their Rooney rule out of the way with him.
Man, Eric Bieniemy out there. It's some black faces other than this. Like, that's crazy that this is the
Nah,
guy.
no, because there's no way. He has no plays drawn up for blitzes. Not only does he not have plays drawn up for blitzes, I'm mad at Jalen that he don't have no audibles that's for blitzes.
Yeah,
So when you
but
see the blitz coming, you can't call a drag route across the middle of the field. You can't do a slant over top of where the blitz is coming from.
so them dudes won't get no separation, especially in a playoff game. But I mean, it all goes back to playing terrible for the last 7 weeks.
Now,
But
even on Madden,
yeah.
when you see a blitz coming, you can do an audible and change the route. Like, why y'all not doing that, bro? Like, do I need to put
business.
controllers on the back of y'all head and control them? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. It's crazy to me, man. So,
R1, shoot.
yeah, man. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens next year, man. That's all I can say. But all I can say.
I don't even want to think about it for real. I let that don't go from my mind.
I'm ticked off, man. I'm ticked off. But you know, I'm a ride or die, man. I'm always stick with my squad. That's just what it's gonna be. But
Absolutely.
look, dude, man, I appreciate you chopping it up with me, man, for the day. And you know, I'll probably have to bring you back on again. And we got to get deeper into this hip hop conversation. I love talking about hip hop, number one. I know you talk about sports as well. But you know, I love talking about hip hop because I could talk about that for a lifetime because it's been my lifetime. It ain't never going to change. And that's all I listen to when I'm in my car. I tell you another thing you should probably do, and I think we talked about this too before I get off here. Start coming up with playlists and putting them out on Spotify.
Right. If you knew how many people have asked me about playlists, bruh, they'd be like, hey, you need a playlist for this? Especially when I just play music, they'd be like, you need to make a playlist. I'm like, why do I need to make? I'm trying to find the value in making a playlist.
Well, here's the thing. If you have followers, then they'll listen to it, right? Now, I wonder if it could be if it was a way to get paid to do it, then obviously yes, that's definitely
Oh,
a way
yeah.
to do it or whatever. I don't know if it's a way, but I mean, I have a couple out there for myself that I listen to specifically just be well, number one, I got a slow jam on. But gotta have that just because like there's no more Quiet Storms, bro. Like they don't have Quiet Storms no more. We lived off Quiet Storm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And they
as
don't
soon
have it
as
no more. So you just gotta have all those songs on there that you used to listen to during the Quiet Storm days. You know what I mean?
10 o'clock here, boy, you already knew what time it was. Ten to
Do you
two.
already know this? You on the phone, like yo, I want to dedicate this song to and yo, tell her she know who it is. You know what I mean? Like
Yo, man, they don't know nothing about that there. Hate to be that
That's
guy. They
it.
don't know nothing about that, but they don't know nothing
That
about that.
was it, man. That was it. That's what it is. But hey man, so hey man, much luck to you, man. Much luck to you, man. Much success to you. And you're gonna get to that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 million followers, man. Eventually, man. And I'm gonna say, I'm gonna be like, yo, I was there back from the beginning, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I appreciate it, bro. Look, I wanted to. I ain't gonna lie. I want to increase the following. I just, you know, I want to be able to. And I don't know if it's possible, but I don't. I want to be able to do this on a grander scale. So, you
Yeah,
know,
man. Dude, it's
just
going
keep
to
pushing.
happen, man. It's going to happen. Whether it's in a collaboration, a effort, or whatever it is, bro, like it's genuine. It's genuine. I see so many people on this app that get caught up in the controversies and get caught up in the stuff that happened off the app or whatever and everything like that, man. Your stuff is genuine and you know what you're talking about. And like even when you have your interviews, I just think it's gonna be bigger names coming in. That's gonna be like, yo, I could talk to this guy because he kind of get it. You know what I mean?
Word. I
So yeah,
appreciate it.
man, just keep it up, man. And look, we gonna be on the other side. I'm always dropping to your lives. Anytime you invite me in, I'm on there with you, man. We could chop it up and talk it out. But Mike Sauce, man, appreciate you, man. And I didn't mention this, but I will mention it for the people out there. Mike does have a book out. He has a book out that's out on, you can get it on Amazon, right?
You can get it directly from me.
Oh, directly from him. So y'all follow this man. Y'all go ahead and give out your following information, man, so people can hear it, man.
Okay, so you can reach me on Instagram at Source of Course. TikTok is Source of Course as well. YouTube is Source and Company. That's the podcast. And it's, you know, just a bunch of clips of randomness having to do with hip hop, sports, or whatever the case may be. And I don't really want y'all to follow me on Facebook because y'all be knowing too much already. So
That's
keep that.
personal, yeah.
But the book is called Shorts from Source. Shorts from Source is 31 thoughts, poems, and stories. And yeah, hit me up. It's $15. And you can hit the Cash App, of course. Dollar sign Mike Source. I'm gonna throw it out there. Dollar sign
No doubt, man. Dollar sign Mike
MicSource.
Source. There you
And
go, man.
yeah, appreciate you.
Yep. Hey, man. Appreciate you, man. Thanks again, yo. We'll get up.
Deserve.
Peace.